The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. And the players and coaches might be away, but the news doesn't stop flowing out of the home of the New England Patriots. Boy, 4th of July, they had a big race here, and then they had the Hernandez shirt give back, and then Mr. Kraft talking yesterday on the record about Hernandez. We'll talk about all of that. Now, we have special guests today because the three amigos are out on vacation. Eric will be back later in the week, but Paul and Andy are out as well. But joining us, the people with their finger on the video pulse of the New England Patriots, Brian Lowe and Jackie Britton of Patriots Today. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hot dogs and sausages.
Oh, there's the first of, what, 75 of those weapons today, Kevin?
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Are Paul, Andy, Eric, and their families all vacationing together at some, you know, remote, peaceful,
probably,
romantic resort?
Actually, that would not have a chance in hell of happening.
Oh, you're right. It's just Paul, Andy, and Eric themselves. Just the three of them are out vacationing together,
yeah,
right?
Even less of a chance.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're listening to the next 2 hours wherever they are.
Yeah, I'm sure Paul is, you know, with the kids, as is Andy, and I'm sure Eric is doing something that's book worthy.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Artsy.
Yeah,
you know,
something like that.
Yeah.
And we should also mention that Kevin Collins has just come back from France.
Oh, yeah. He's all fancy.
No beret.
A two-week jaunt in France, the countryside as well as Paris. And he comes back to report that Paris may well indeed smell worse than Florida.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So in your ranking of, you always hear Florida, the armpit of America. You'd put France, is that the armpit
of
Europe?
Well, not the whole country.
It's
Paris.
Actually,
oh, just Paris.
In Bilo, their armpits actually do stink. Like,
that's
they're
true.
They're literal armpits.
Yeah. No, you're
and
right.
He went around smelling
went
people's
around
armpits.
Smelling. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Okay. He had his little backpack with the Canadian leaf smelling people's
armpits. Well, I feel like you were gone long enough that you maybe could have gone around.
I actually didn't do the Canadian patch thing, Fred, but there were plenty of people that were doing it.
You did Japanese?
No, I did nothing.
Nothing.
But you would literally see, I was in line for the Eiffel Tower. And I saw this guy that legit looked like he was from Africa, like as dark as you could possibly get, and Canadian stuff all over him.
Well, you know, they do have
you should have been repping American flag stuff.
You know,
people of color up in Canada.
He didn't speak English.
Well, we have that in America, too, you know.
That's right, America.
America. Hashtag America.
America. All right, well, thanks, guys, for joining me.
Our
otherwise,
pleasure.
It would have been me talking for 2 hours, and nobody wants that.
It may turn out that that would have been better than having us on, as usually the feedback that we get when I'm on. So it's possible that the two hours of Fred would have been better.
Look. I mean, let's
Yeah, Jackie playing the role of Andy in Andy's absence, mocking me.
Guy in the world.
Our listeners like to bust balls. So,
I agree. I love it. I love it. Bring it on.
All right.
Bring it on.
All right. So webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. And, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen. And, you know, maybe that makes me look really bad. But Robert Kraft speaking to Mike Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Ben Volen? From
Ben
the
Volen,
Globe,
yeah.
And Ron Borges,
yeah.
Right.
From the Herald. And I'm not sure if these people were handpicked or, you know, they sit, you know, RPR simply contacted the Herald Globe,
right.
And ESPN Boston said, choose one.
And keep in mind, this is a time that a lot of reporters are on vacation, too.
That's
so it's
true.
Possible that, you know, Karen Garigian might be on vacation. You know, I don't know. I have no idea. But
right.
You're right. Unknown how those three were picked from their respective organizations.
But a 40-minute interview that they did in Robert Kraft's office. And he wanted to talk about Aaron Hernandez. There's been a lot of calls from the media of, you know, they should say something, not just do something. I always thought actions speak louder than words. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's some in the media that feel he has to say something. So, you know, he has been out of the country for two weeks like he always does around the 4th of July and literally just got back. And the day after he got back, spoke on record to the media. So, guys, you read about what he had to say. What do you think?
Well, you know, I thought it was handled pretty well. And you know, it's the time of year. I mean, this is all happening when it really is the quiet time in the NFL calendar. So that the Patriots hadn't said anything, it's not like we're in the middle of the season and there's four press conferences a week and every player. This is a period of time where there isn't normal, regular media access. So I think that should be taken into account when everyone's screaming and hollering for the Patriots to say something. I did think it was handled pretty well as far as what Robert said. I think what a lot of people wanted the team to say is, we screwed something up here. We made a mistake in signing this guy to this contract, and that's A. And B, we might have to change the way we look into players in the future, which I'm paraphrasing, but that's sort of what he said. I think those are the two of the key things that the public and fans wanted to hear.
Yeah,
now, I know. Go ahead, Jack.
No, I think it was a good move. I think that, you know, I don't think that he should get criticized for waiting, 2 weeks after until he finally says something. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the guy. Waited until he got back in town to say something to those reporters.
And you know, look, I'll say it again. Actions do speak louder than
words.
And they've
done both, though.
And they released a statement immediately following, you know, what happened, and then they released him. I mean, that's kind of admitting a mistake right? You know, so, yes, okay, great. So now he actually went on record, you know, and verbalized it. But I think they admitted a mistake a long time ago.
Yeah, and that's what Brian and I were talking about earlier this morning is the fact that they'd, you know, that Robert said that basically we'd made a mistake. That was kind of the more telling part of the fact that they'd said anything at all.
Yeah, but I think the main reason why Robert wanted to go on was to further clarify the whole idea that you should have known.
Yeah.
Why didn't you know?
Yeah,
you
should have
known.
Come
and, on. You know, the whole revealing that letter, I had no idea that his agent, Athletes First, sent that letter.
Yeah.
And perhaps not just to the Patriots, but to any team.
You have to figure out if a team received that letter. Right.
I had no idea that that was the case. And, you know, but I do know that while Hernandez was here, we never had any reports of, you know, him being late for meetings or being disruptive in a practice and, you know, any of that. He was a model Patriot while he was in with the walls of this stadium.
There's 53 guys on the roster. There's 61 when you include the practice squad. There's 90 right now. The teams cannot be held liable for, certainly not liable for the actions of the players, but you cannot assume that the team is going to be able to know everything that every player is doing. These are professional athletes. There has to be some leeway to say, hey, give them the benefit of the doubt that they are professional athletes. Now, with Hernandez, we're getting, everything's coming out of the woodwork. Problem here, problem there.
Yeah.
Police report here, police report in Florida, all this other stuff that we didn't know about. And it seems like in some of these cases, like the double homicide from last year that Hernandez is now alleged to have been involved in, well, that happened a month before he signed this contract. If the Patriots had any clue whatsoever that a player was involved in any way in that, they're not signing him to a five-year extension for $40 million. They could not, you know, This was not a two-year contract for $1.5 million. There, a handful of players in every team have the kind of contract that Aaron Hernandez had. If the team had any inkling, they're not giving him that contract. But it does come back to the question, should they have had better knowledge of what this guy was about?
But here's the thing. I believe they did know that he was hanging around with some scumbags, okay? Mm-hmm. But
does that mean you shouldn't give him a five-year contract?
But I guarantee you, on every team in the NFL and beyond, there are a handful of players that whose hometown buddies aren't on the up and up.
Right.
Every team. Right. Yeah. You know, but do you stop signing these guys?
No, well, that's the kind of point.
No, you can't.
That,
you can't.
That's what I had said. Is I was like, well, I mean, in their mind, in Robert, in the organization's mind, he'd done enough to be worthy of receiving something like this. And how long do you go before you trust a guy? I mean, he'd been productive. He'd been pretty clean while he was here. So
but
how,
it turned
I mean,
out he pulled a fast one on them.
Sure.
Right.
As
I mean,
Robert said, we were duped. He pulled a fast one on them. He was a good actor.
Right.
He
There's an element of that in every risk you take.
To have it in you to be able to create the heinous crime that he created, you have to be a con artist.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Otherwise, all these people would be locked up before they do it.
Right.
You know,
and it may have been that within these walls, he was a model citizen. And by all accounts, he was. But he pulled a fast one. He acted pretty well. Who knows what he did when he left the facility at 6 o'clock each night until when he came back. I mean, now we're seeing he had a secret, you know, apartment. Obviously, was still hanging out in Bristol. If you know, could the Patriots? Could there have been mechanisms where the Patriots could have found out some of the other things he was doing on the field, off the field? Yeah, of course. But you can't watch every player at every moment.
Right.
And this guy acted pretty well, and he was a good actor. He pulled a fast
one. We talked about on this show, you know, the Red Sox years ago did that with Mo Vaughn. They hired a private investigator to follow him around,
and
they
got
shellacked. Killed for it. Yeah. You know,
right?
You have to have means. You have to have cause in order to, you know, real cause to do something like that. And other than we don't like who you hang out with,
right?
You know, that's a far cry with you're hanging out with potential murderers,
right?
Now we do know that. And I don't know specifically what the Patriots do, but leading up to every draft, teams do thorough work on these players. On the field, off the field, talk to friends, talk to family, talk to coaches and all that. And the reason the extraordinarily talented and productive Aaron Hernandez fell to the fourth round is because there were red flags. And that's why he fell to the fourth round. So you fall to the fourth round, a team takes a chance on you, you perform well on the field, by all accounts you're doing well off the field, they give you a big contract. What happened in the interim, in those 2 years, he could have been a different guy. You know, it could have been that they did an extraordinarily thorough check on him before he was drafted, and the only red flags were marijuana use and, you know, maybe he got into a fight at a club and all that. Well, it's possible that during those ensuing 2 years, when they have all these guys on the roster who are now professional athletes and they're not watching them as closely as they do watching the projected draft picks, maybe things changed. Maybe he was acting a little differently and they just weren't watching and checking on everything he was doing as they did for those first few months before the draft.
Somebody used the word on the radio this morning on EEI. This is an anomaly. It is.
It really is.
Larry Bird got into a bar fight while he was with the Celtics.
Right.
I mean, are you not going to sign him to his next contract?
Right.
You know, what this case is an anomaly. This isn't something that happens a lot in the NFL.
Right.
You know, needless to say, here in New England, you know, and it is an anomaly, and it's something that you just can't find in a background check.
Right.
You know,
right. I agree.
It's so unfortunately, a man is dead because Aaron Hernandez allegedly is, you know, a lot worse guy than anyone could have ever thought he was.
Yeah, and we'll see.
And that's a fact, and that's it. Time to move on here.
Right. Right. And it could, you know, the truth is, the Patriots, I know teams are coming out of the woodwork now. Oh, we had Aaron Hernandez off our board, and we had
quiet.
I don't buy any of that because of Aaron. You know, Aaron Hernandez could have been drafted by another team, and even if he didn't have the contract extension last year, he was still going to be a member in good standing under contract with the Patriots in June of 2013. He still had one more year of his rookie deal. So the fact that they signed him to a big contract last year, while you can question, well, what did they know? What didn't they know? He still would have been on the team right now. He still would have been going into the final year of his contract.
Right.
any of the 32 teams could have drafted him. This could have happened to any of the 32 teams.
You know, the Patriots made a, you know, and Bill Belichick had a pretty good pipeline with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. And they decided
it didn't turn out to be very good.
No, but,
well, but he had a pipeline.
Yeah. In terms of communication, he had direct access to this guy.
Some kind of relationship.
So, you know, they determined his potential as an athlete, okay, weighed against the red flags we have for the marijuana, makes him a fourth-round value for us.
Yeah.
Other teams could have said that's a fifth-round value.
Yeah.
But I'm sure every team had some type of rating for this guy where, you know, football player versus, you know, off the field was weighed and given a value.
Yeah.
And it just so happened the Patriots said, probably because of Urban Meyer connection, this is fourth round, where a lot of teams said maybe it's fifth, sixth round.
Right.
But all teams have these guys on their...
Right, that's right.
You know, minus the murder. I'm talking about guys with red flags.
There's some kind of
all
history.
Teams have, you know, and just because, you know, maybe some other team has a direct connection with the Texas coach. So a Texas guy who has red flags gets a little higher value on their team than the Patriots because we don't have as much direct access to Texas. You know, so all teams are playing this game where they're weighing value versus risk.
Dez Bryant was drafted in the first round. And the Patriots may have had him as a fourth-round value. The Falcons may have had him as a third-round value. The Bills may have had him seventh round. It's not just the off-the-field discipline red flags. Marcus Cannon was drafted in the fifth round.
Right.
He was diagnosed with cancer a couple weeks before the draft. It could have been that a team had him as a third round value. There was just another guy there that they wanted to take. It could have been that some teams have him at seventh round value. There are different red flags, like you said, Fred, that cause teams to adjust accordingly. Alphonso Dennard, you know, he's now been convicted of a crime. He punched a cop a week before the draft. That obviously was a red flag that dropped him down. Teams know what's going on leading up to the draft. I think after the draft, once players are on teams, there's not as thorough a keeping tabs on players.
This is still
as
America.
Are leading to the draft.
People have individual rights, even though you're in the NFL. You know,
I think Robert Kraft truly is hurt by what happened.
I believe it.
I really believe it. Yeah, I do too.
You know, I think
he's brokenhearted.
And I think Aaron Hernandez was someone he believed in and bought into everything about him. And I know there's been a lot of attention on that he gave a $50,000 donation to the charitable foundation, which is something I haven't heard any other player do. If any other player has done that, it's been done very quietly and privately and no one has known. That is an extraordinarily personal, emotional attachment that Robert Kraft had with Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Something very unique. He was a New England guy and all that. There were reasons for the Krafts and the Patriots to buy into what Aaron Hernandez was about.
Right.
And we're seeing now that it was a mistake.
Right.
They were duped, in his words.
Right.
And that doesn't mean they should have taken different steps or they should have or should whatever. They miscalculated on what kind of guy this guy would be in the ensuing 7 years that he'd be under contract.
One thing I'm a little, you know, Robert said, you know, we're definitely going to look at our audit the process that we have for – I really hope that this does not discourage them from taking chances in the future. You have to.
But I don't think we're going to see them take chances on players with red flags anytime soon. I don't think we're going to see them take chances.
I think each player has to be looked at as an individual basis. And, you know, what is the red flag? What's the background? You know,
and how far does that carry? Like, when do you draw the line
okay,
I'm not going to draft a player because of, you know, X, Y, and Z off the field.
So this guy punched a cop. What were the circumstances? Has he ever done anything like that before?
Right.
You know, all that stuff should come into play. And I don't think a red flag should put people off a board necessarily. I don't think you can operate that way.
I think it is impossible to draft guys. It's impossible to draft guys who are 100% clean slate.
You can't have a whole team full of them.
No,
you know, you can have Tim Tebow, but you can't have 53 Tim Tebows.
But let's say going into next year's draft.
A guy like, I mean, Tiger Woods, he had everybody fooled. He had a clean slate.
Lance
Armstrong. He was squeaky clean.
Exactly.
And then he, you know, has this whole other, you can't, like, it's impossible to have, to only draft guys who don't have some kind of
background. But there's the criminal, like Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrong. I mean, you can make comparisons. Tiger Woods, there's no criminal side to him. There's no criminal background. Lance Armstrong, there is. Let's say going into next year's draft, leading into the draft, I don't know, there ends up being a handful, maybe a dozen players who are known or rumored or leaked information about drug suspensions in college or marijuana use and all that. I don't think the Patriots, I think the Patriots are going to have to be very careful next year in the draft to take anyone known to be.
Well, let's.
That is going to be okay. Something they will not be
let's
able
to. Let's just
say, that's going to be tough.
Urban Meyer is a bad example because he seems to be sending up some guys. But let's just say there's another coach, Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, for example.
Bill O'Brien.
Okay, Bill O'Brien from Penn State. That Bill has a really, Bill Belichick has a really good connection with trusts. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there's a guy on Penn State that has a red flag. And Bill Belichick says to Bill O'Brien, what's the real story here? And Bill O'Brien says, look, I know we got into this jam, but, you know, this is not who he is. That word means a lot to Bill Belichick, and that could override the red flag. And I think I think those things happen. And, again, it goes back to, you know, turning up all the rocks, leaving no stone unturned, trusting people who, you know, like a Bill O'Brien who – you know, you really feel you can trust his word and going with that and not shying away from red flags because of Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, so
Aaron Hernandez was an anomaly, you know.
No question about it. There's, I mean, Ray Carruth is the only person in the NFL history that we can really associate. This wasn't an anomaly.
Oh, Ray Lewis, but that, that was a bar fight. And different circumstance than a planned execution as this is alleged to be.
And to be honest, Jovan Belcher as well. Jovan Belcher as well.
Yeah.
The difference is, you know, he took matters into his own hands a couple hours later.
Right.
But, you know, he first allegedly committed.
It was a passionate suicide.
No.
You know.
I know.
Different
I know.
Than, you know, okay, not that.
But.
Okay.
But with Robert Kraft saying yesterday that we need to audit our process or whatever the phrase was, perhaps that process now means that the player personnel staff, Belichick, Casario, whoever else, maybe that's going to lead to them needing to run things by Robert more often and in more specific ways than they have in the past. And if Robert feels as though he was duped by a player like Aaron Hernandez, and granted every red flag and every background is different, maybe part of that process is going to be he's going to want to have things run by him a little more often, and he is going to be apprehensive before he allows the team to acquire players with various red flags.
Yeah.
That could be what it comes down to.
It could be.
You know, when the Patriots sign a undrafted free agent off another team's practice squad in the middle of October in any given year, Robert Kraft isn't involved in that negotiation.
Right.
He doesn't know who it is, and nor does he care to know. When the Patriots draft players in the first, second, third, even fourth round, sign players to multi-year extensions, that's where Robert comes into place. Maybe he's going to be involved or is going to want to be privy to more information about even the 53rd guy than he has been in the past.
Now, in terms of how the Patriots have handled this since, you know, the arrest and everything, I think they've handled it pretty well. And
I
that includes, Jackie, the story that you did over the weekend with the jersey give back.
Right.
I agree. They didn't have to do that.
Right.
The idea was not to purge society of Aaron Hernandez jerseys, but it was sort of just saying, hey, look, our fans got duped too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, they're in on
it. We want to do
it.
And
they have a vested interest. And it wasn't just Robert Kraft and the team officials that our fans got duped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is a way, hey, we're going to make good. You bought a jersey from us. You can't wear it anymore.
Right.
I think it was a great move. And a lot of the fans, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody that was there, but I interviewed like six or seven different groups of people, and everyone was really happy, really pleased with, you know, having this opportunity, the ability to, you know, change it in, because they said, look, I mean, can't wear this anymore.
And the jerseys aren't cheap.
And,
you know,
yeah,
you gotta,
and
you
the fact that you get, you know, you get $120 whatever jersey of like Will Fork, Brady, whatever. They all seemed pretty thankful. I mean, I only spoke to a handful of them, but they were all happy with it.
It seems like
it went well.
You think about the parents who bought, you know, 7-year-old Timmy an Aaron Hernandez jersey for his birthday in February because that's his favorite player. Well, you know, it's going to be tough to explain to 7-year-old Timmy what's going on, why mommy and daddy are taking away his Hernandez jersey. But if there's a way to explain it to him and also say, you know, here's a different player who's an opportunity for you to, you know, you should start
keep an eye on
being like
guy.
Chandler Jones
if,
and be
if
like
you have
Will
the time Ford. As a parent, you can use this as a teaching moment.
Yes.
And, you know, not just exchange it, but say why. You know, here's what happened. You know, people who.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely a good move. And I mean, they put themselves, you know, at risk for the fans who, you know, couldn't come. But I mean, it's, you can only do so much.
Well, yeah, you know, but I agree with you, Fred. I think the right steps have been taken at the right times. And I was, when I saw the moment that they released Aaron Hernandez, I mean, I was taken aback. I see in my email, Patriots release Aaron Hernandez, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a, the Patriots put out a release regarding Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
We're aware. That's what, that was my first instinct.
Right, yeah.
But they released him. And
then the verb.
And you just think, well, he just got arrested. What is going on here? How quickly are things happening? And you realize it didn't matter. The way they said, it didn't matter what he was charged with, what exactly, the association of a guy who was involved enough to be arrested.
Right. If you're that close to it,
that the authorities who have just spent 2 weeks investigating this crime have come to terms that this is an individual who's going to be arrested, we are disassociating ourselves. Now, he will forever be former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez. And there's nothing that the team can do to erase and to get that stench out of the association of Aaron Hernandez. But that was a bold move. I mean, that's a bold move to say we condone none of what he may or may not have allegedly been involved with this crime. He's linked to it. That's good enough for us. We're out.
Nope.
You know, we're out. And I think that starting right there, I think they've taken appropriate steps. I don't think it's all PR moves. I think it's an appropriate step. They've lost a lot of millions of dollars happened.
And, you know, when a lot of people say, well, you know, the Patriot way is dead now. I disagree with that. Because the Patriot way was not just about bringing in guys of high character. We've been through this already. Not every guy that the Patriots have brought in over the last 13 years have been guys of high character. That's not the Patriot way. Yeah. The Patriot way is once you're here, it's all about business. It's all about winning football games and making football important to you and how we conduct our everyday football lives, how we do practice, how we do film work.
Right.
You know, how we do locker room, how we deal with the media. That's all part of it. None of that's going to change. You know, Bill Belichick isn't going to become, you know, Dick Vermeil up there now at the microphone. That's not going to happen.
We were just talking about that last
nothing
week.
Nothing is going to change about how the Patriots do business. You know, Brian, they might change a little bit how they look at these red flags.
Yeah.
You know, I hope they don't too much. But beyond that, the Patriots' way is intact. And when players come in from other teams and say, wow, you know, it's really different how they do things here. They're really about business. It's really, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
Well, no, you're at the height. If we say that the height of the Patriot way was the Super Bowl era and through 07 and 08, well, was there a player who had more red flags on his resume than Corey Dillon at the time that the Patriots brought in Corey Dillon?
Right.
There are very few in the NFL.
Right.
They brought him in. You're right that the Patriot way is about buying in to a winning atmosphere, about make football one of the two or three most important elements of your entire life. And Corey Dillon was able to do that. Randy Moss, for a period of time, was able to do that. They've brought in players who have been had among the worst rap sheets in the NFL. Now, some haven't worked out. Albert Haynesworth, at the time the Patriots brought him in, had one of the worst rap sheets among all the thousands of players in the NFL. He didn't work out. They cut him within 2 months. I mean, that's what they do. They're not afraid to bring you in. They're not afraid to kick you out.
Yeah, and I think that's an example of what you were just saying, Fred, is what, you know, whether he was arrested for anything, they didn't care. They were going to cut him. And I think that's an example of the Patriot.
You're brought in here, whether it's Chad Ochocinco or Randy Moss.
Yep.
We'll give you a shot.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's your contract. It's 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's what we expect of you while you're here.
Right.
And you either buy into that Patriot way and
what's the harm in that? What's wrong with doing that?
There's nothing.
I don't think there's any
as a fan, I want them to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Same, but I think we're gonna see them slow up a little bit. Think about just in the last couple of years. I mean, Aqib Talib is another guy who, if you look at the red flags, these specific incidents within the team atmosphere, fights that he got into, he had a pretty lengthy rap sheet relative to the rest of the NFL. The team brought him in last November while he was under a suspension, by the way. So, you know, talk about a guy who had red flags in the moment. And they said, you know, we believe enough in this guy. And there's the Schiano connection, too, and all that. Talk about the Urban Meyer pipeline. Well, he obviously kept his nose clean enough for them to decide to re-sign him. But they're going to have to take fewer risks on those guys in the near future. I think. I don't think we're going to see. I think when Robert says we need to audit our process a little bit, I think they need to be a little. We're going to see them be a little more careful about the types of backgrounds of,
you know,
of guys that we bring.
Before I worked for the Patriots, I was.
There was a period of your life. I was editor of
another magazine called New England Sport. It was all about sports in New England. It was a journal, the Sports Museum of New England. And I remember writing an editorial.
So let me write that. New England Sport was about sports in New England?
Yeah. I remember writing an funny guy over here.
Real funny
I'll
guy.
I'll get him later.
I got a snort out of it. When she laughs and snorts, that's when I know I made it funny.
Very good.
But I remember writing back then an editorial about how, you know, this type of training about what you need to do as to be a pro athlete should start in high school. You know, you need, and character should be part of it. You know, if you can teach a kid to throw a curveball in high school, you can, and tell him you're going to have that pitch if you want to play in college or the big leagues. You can also teach him about character.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And I mean, look, you've got a guy like Vince Wilfork who lost both his parents, right, in college, and look what he's been able to do. I mean, it's all about the choices you make and if you're going to accept the standards that they've set here.
And the truth is, percentage wise, the number of players in the NFL who get arrested or all that, it's low. I mean, there's right now there are 90 times 32, something like 2,700 players right now under contract in the NFL. I mean, the percentage of guys who have gotten into trouble or gotten arrested is pretty low. It's not like we're talking about 50% of the world, 50% of the league. We highlight these guys who get arrested because that's a huge story and that's how it's affecting the team.
And you know what? It should be. I don't think they should be given a break. I think when these guys get arrested, I think they should be held to a higher standard, whether they like it or not. They are role models, and they're in the entertainment business. They're high visibility. They represent a brand.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people kind of relying on them to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, if you just care about yourself, it's going to cost you money if you're a bad character.
Yeah.
So think about it that way. If that's the only thing you want to think about, you're hurting your own brand when you do this stuff. And you know, that's going to hurt your potential for earning money.
And you wonder, and the NFL absolutely does quite a bit, especially you talk about the rookie symposium, trying to instill the right from wrong with these guys. The entire Hernandez saga was unfolding during the rookie symposium this year, where 300 incoming NFL players are all huddled together in a remote hotel in Ohio. They used to have it in San Diego and Florida and all that. They wisely, I think, decided, hey, you know what? We're not bringing this to some scenic, distraction-filled locale.
Yeah.
It's like an hour from Canton, I think, where they've had the symposium. These guys, that's where they have to begin to learn that they are now professionals. Yes, they're 20 to 24 years old.
I disagree. They have to begin to learn earlier than that.
But Fred,
not that I want to shift the blame from the NFL.
They have to, but they don't because they're the big man on campus everywhere they go.
I know. That's what I'm getting. My point, these football factories where like you said, these guys get away with everything.
They're coddled. They're enabled.
It has to
start
there.
Right, it happens before. Yeah, it happens
the
in high
school.
The
NCAA is a joke.
Yeah.
The NCAA has to really do what it's supposed to be doing.
But there are always moments of reinforcement. I mean, you've got to, I think that's what you're trying
to
get.
And you've got to also hope that once they be, you know, they get to a certain age, 21, 22, that naturally it clicks in. I got to change. I'm a professional athlete now. I have responsibility and all that. But they're coddled so much. You know, every NFL player who's drafted, the 260 or whatever players, the seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, who is joked because, oh, he stinks. He's never going to make the team. Even he was the superstar in high school with all the attention on him. Everybody's fawning over him. Colleges are coming after him. Then he gets to college. And even if he's only middle of the pack in college, if he's at a big school, everybody's after him, so much attention. You get to the NFL, and the ones who really can let it click inside their heads that, on average, the average NFL length of your NFL career is going to be about 3 years. If you're lucky, you're going to get a second contract in the NFL. If you're really lucky, you're going to play 10 years in the NFL. And if you're one of the chosen 0.5% of the guys, you're going to actually be a Pro Bowler and a Hall of Famer. They've got to realize that this is the moment where they have to mature and realize the responsibility they have. The fact that the Hernandez saga was playing literally at the time that the rookie symposium was going on, you would hope and you would think all these guys are going to say, I can't be that guy.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure football and my family are the most important things in my life. And even if 255 of the 260 realize that, five of them might not. And
they also have to realize that now that they're on a team, they have a support system. If they look like there's trouble, they can reach out.
Sure, the Patriots.
You know, the team has
people.
A vested interest in helping them. Yeah. They're not going to
and the league. The team
gonna,
and the league.
They're not going to turn away from them. If you're having trouble with, you know, the guys that you grew up with, and they, you know, there's things that
that's
can be
gotta
done.
Be hard. I don't want to speak for anybody on that because that's got to be hard. Once you're making so much money and you've got these friends and you want to be loyal and you don't, you know, I mean, how do you? That's got to be hard.
I'm sure it is. If these people are really your friends, they're not going to drag
you back
down.
I know, but I'm
down.
Not. Yeah, you I'm know? Not going to sit here and say you should just cut people out.
I know what you're saying. It's tough. It's hard,
and especially when you're, you know, what 20. Yeah.
And because it's hard, that's why the teams in the league have people specifically in place to help these players through.
Right. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Jackie?
This is Fred, by the way.
Excuse me, Fred. I'm sorry. You and Paul almost sound alike.
Ooh.
This is a joke. Okay. I'm just saying it. But I agree with y'all. Like I said, every team does have one of those players. And you would think common sense, I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 120. $41 million, I ain't doing nothing but going to work and going whatever I have to do, but everybody else going to stay out. You would think that.
You'd think, yeah.
You would think that.
Yeah.
But since Brian and Jack are there, two questions I want to ask y'all.
Go for it.
Okay. Y'all,
he said y'all, you heard him, right?
Most of the team, like the receiver battles and the cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Who looks good to y'all on the receivers and the cornerbacks? And one last thing I'm going to say is, most of the league is writing us off anyway because the little comments on the NFL Network or whatever. But I don't think we're rolling off yet. But who looks good to y'all anyway?
We're actually going to do cornerbacks next. Well, this we're going to probably post it around next week, cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. But receivers we've talked a little bit about. I stand by my Michael Jenkins as the premier outside receiver just because when you look at, yeah, obviously the top receiver is Amendola, no surprises there. But who's going to be that outside threat to replace, you know, Brandon Lloyd, you know? But and I go with Michael Jenkins there. Haven't seen really much of Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce. Not that I discredit them in any way, but I haven't seen physically on the
out
field.
There. No way to tell.
And Michael Jenkins, I'm telling y'all, with
I try to keep that off. I mess with her on the yard.
Radio. You don't have to be formal if you're on a Patriots today.
But it was the most obvious improvement to me. And I think Paul or maybe Andy had written an article about, you know, didn't look good during spring camp, dropped COVID. And he didn't look good during OTAs. He drops a bunch of passes. But I'm telling you, he looked like a completely different player by the time minicamp rolled around. And yeah. I think that it's clicking with him, and I think that he's got it.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen a position that is so much up in the air. You know, there have been other years where the Patriots have brought in new players at receiver, like obviously in 07, but you knew Randy Moss was making the team. You knew Wes Welker was making the team. You knew they were in good shape. Now, I mean, after Amendola, who, because of, you know, what he's done in the league and his contract, he obviously is going to be the featured guy. Beyond that, you've got 9 or 10 guys that it wouldn't surprise me on any of them if anyone makes it or doesn't make it. I'm gonna say right now that I think between Kamar Aiken and Kenbrell Tompkins. Who are we talking about here? One of those two guys is going to make the team. Younger guys, tall. Kamar Aiken was on the practice squad all of last year. I think we could see a situation where if it comes down to, say, Jenkins and Kamar Aiken or Donald Jones or Lavelle Hawkins or one of these veterans in Kamar Aiken that they're going to go with the younger, upside, cheaper guy who's also going to play some special teams. I'm not going to sit here and say this guy looked great in mini camps and all that. I truly feel as though you can't really speak much to that.
It's too early.
But I mean, are you saying like if you're going to pick a free agent, rookie free agent that beats out a veteran?
Yep.
How many do you think that
on the roster or just a wide receiver?
On the roster. Let's go
well, on the roster, you know, on average, this team probably has two undrafted free agents that make the final 53-man roster each year.
Okay.
They always have at least
and
one.
So you're saying wide receiver would be one of those positions where that could happen?
Well, I mean, Kamar Aiken technically isn't an undrafted free agent this year. Kenbrell Tompkins is a possibility, a productive guy. I mean, I think, and I know you do as well, Zach Sudfeld this year could be one of those undrafted free agents. But if we're talking about wide receiver, you know, everyone thought T.J. Moe was... Lock it in. This guy's going to make the roster. Well, he's already on injured reserve, so forget about him. But I just think at wide receiver, it's so wide open right now.
Well, the only guy I think is a lock is Amendola.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
That's the only lock.
And there is only so much you can tell, obviously, but this is all that we really have to go on.
Right.
I mean, Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce from their college film look great.
I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And they're both making the team.
But I'm saying if we go off of what we have, like what I have seen with my own eyes from off season, I mean, why are we trashing Michael? Like, do you have any beef with Michael Jenkins?
Yeah, I have a specific personal beef with Michael Jenkins going back to our, my only beef with Michael Jenkins is, his age and the fact that it pretty clearly he lost a step last year. He had a pretty productive, few years in Atlanta and even in Minnesota, he had some production. Was he somewhere else? Am I missing another stop? I think he's probably lost a step. And I think if you look at each year with this team, they bring in, say, 15 veteran free agents every year. Half make it, half don't. And, you know, I thought Bobby Carpenter was a guy who was close to being a lock to make the team last year.
At least
and
a
he gets
special
cut.
Teams.
Well, at least right. And he gets cut because there will be salary cap limitations. And don't forget special teams. If Michael Jenkins makes this team, he's not one of your one or two receivers. Let's hope he's not. He's a 3, 4, or 5 receiver. Those guys have to play a role on special teams, more than likely. It's hard to carry a Michael Jenkins as a fifth receiver, a guy you actually, to quote Bill Belichick, bring to the game, who's on the 46-man roster, and he's not going to play special teams for you. It's hard to carry a guy
like that. So you're not one of those guys that think that the cap is crap?
I don't think the cap is crap.
Of course it
is. I think it gets overrated sometimes, but there's no question that part of the reason the Patriots always have undrafted free agents is that it does sometimes come down to, well, this guy's making $400,000, this guy's making $1.4 million. We might need that million somewhere to bring in the middle of the season guy.
It forces you to make decisions.
Right. So I think Kenbrell Tompkins is going to be in the mix as a guy who makes the team as an undrafted free agent. And part of what he has going for him is the complete and utter chaos at wide receiver and the battle for roster spots. Some guy, you know, one guy who I do think is going to end up being one of their top three receivers this year is Julian Edelman. He's been out.
A lot of people forget about him because of he didn't. You know,
yeah, that'd be great.
He's the only guy. If you take all of their tight ends and wide receivers, and even running backs for that matter, he's the only guy who has consistently caught passes from Tom Brady at all in his career.
Right.
And that will be an important factor in a training camp where all these guys are pretty new to the Patriots.
Just got
to
keep them healthy.
What do you think about the up-tempo offense then? So many, because I was reading something, I think, on PFW about, you know, so many new faces, how, you know, that chemistry still developing. How does that affect the, you know, up-tempo, no huddle offense that Tom Brady and company?
You
got to
have no huddle in this league. So, you know.
So it's part. So they just implement it. It's just like learning every other part of
their. And it's so rare for a quarterback to have been going to his 14th season and have been in a grand total of one offensive system. So just because there are some new faces at different positions, it's not going to completely change what Tom Brady does, how he operates at the line of scrimmage. What I do think is that right now they have a chance to be, I'd say, a top 7 or 8 rushing team this year. I think with Stephen Ridley in his prime and seeing what he did last year, Vereen coming on a little bit, potentially Bolden or Blunt, and not to be put to the back burner in all this, an intact offensive line, I think we could see them being a little more run-heavy than we have.
Yeah, well, that's I looked up, actually, before we got here. In 2012, the regular season, they had 2,184 yards, which is the most they've had since Kevin Falk and Sammy Morris were here. So I would like to see them stay consistent with that run game.
I think
Paul Perilla would say, go ahead and run the ball. Defensive coordinators will welcome the Patriots to be a run-first team. I don't think you're saying, but I'll tell you, if you are going to lead the league in rushing, you better have a good red zone offense
because
you're going to end up there a lot.
It's about play action. Red zone and play action. I don't think when you have Tom Brady, you'd be foolish to be a run first team.
Right.
The first, you have Tom Brady. He's still performing at an elite level. If the three of us were among his receivers, you're still going to have Tom Brady be at the controls and throw the ball.
Right.
But if they realize, say, at the end of training camp, boy, you know, let's say Rob Gronkowski's on PUP. They obviously don't have Aaron Hernandez. Let's say none of all these eight or nine wide receivers really blossom. Let's say Edelman is still hobbled. And they feel that in those first few weeks of the season, they need to rely on the run, use that for play action, and go from there. And maybe they do have a 55 to 45% run-to-pass ratio in those first few weeks. I think they have the makings and the personnel right now to do it.
Well, look at that first game last year against Tennessee. Didn't they... They ran the ball a lot more than
we
expected.
Very well. Yeah. And so I think they have the makings of that.
And I think Buffalo, too. I think we
Buffalo, they had ridiculous rushing totals against Buffalo, one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL last year, of course.
Yeah.
But if they need to be patient a little bit early on, September and October, with Dobson and Boyce, with getting Donald Jones on the same page with Brady, with potentially Zach Sudfeld being one of their top two tight ends, I think they have the personnel to get by offensively. And let those guys and be patient with those guys.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Ladies, too. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
Very polite.
I just want to, you know, let everyone know in the Patriots world that, I've called a couple of times. You guys actually let me talk. I've been getting pure hell from everybody about this Aaron Hernandez thing. And, I mean, I think 2 days before, you know, the indictment went down and he was arrested. I washed my hands with it, and I'm pretty sure that you guys in the media and covering the Patriots and did the same thing. Like, I mean, as much as it was watching him, got to wash the situation because he's not on our team no more. EA Sports took him out. You know, he has nothing to do with football right now. He's just, a ward of the state of Massachusetts. But going forward as in football, I mean, I still think of this team as – I believe we're going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, the karma that we've had over the last couple of years to win the Super Bowl where the Giants will suit up every day, it's going to be the sweetest joy after all the stuff we've been through, and especially when Myra Kraft died 2 years ago and we were so close. We were one play away from, you know, if Gronk would have been healthy on that that leg, you know, he almost caught that. I mean, you see that. I mean, I watched it all the time. I don't know. It's a little frustrating, but, I mean, I believe, our defense is better. I do believe, like you guys said, we're going to run the ball more. And I believe that even if it's a cluster mess at wide receiver, we have some good kids that are going to get out there. And if they can catch the ball and we can run the ball more, I mean, I think we can do it. And our schedule, it always looks favorable to us. You know, the first four games is going to be good. I hope
Mark,
I think we might have
lost. We lost Marcus. He
could kind of see that coming.
I think he's right. I mean, I don't think, obviously, Tom Brady's not sitting in a corner crying because Aaron Hernandez happened.
Oh,
I
hell
mean, like,
no.
No, he's sitting in the middle of the room.
But
there
might
be
clearly
some fans that are doing that. And Marcus talks about frustration, and I can understand it. But this is what it means to be a fan. This is when your team needs you most.
Right.
And this is when you're tested most as a fan. And, by the way, this is when, if you do succeed, it's that much sweeter.
Yeah.
Because...
And I think, honestly, I think that, I mean, I'm not going to make any projections, obviously, about Super Bowl, but...
You can.
I don't think that it would not shock me if they didn't continue on stomping through the
here's
playoffs.
Well,
they're
in the AFC East, so
that
helps.
Right, so that helps.
If Tom Brady plays at least 14 games this year, then they're winning the division by 2 games. Enough said. And if you win your division,
enough
you
said,
have
hashtag that.
Yeah, right. Hashtag. If you win your division, you have
sports takes. If,
takes with a Z, right?
Right.
If you win your division, you have at least one home playoff game. So if Tom Brady is healthy for 90% of this season, the Patriots are going to be in the week two of the playoffs. From that point, it comes down to who are you playing and where are you playing them. I don't really care who is from 2 through 53 on the roster. That's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If Brady's playing, they're winning the division, and then you got to see what the matchups are going.
Right, they've got backup plans. I mean, it's not like everyone's sitting there shaking their heads like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, I'm not too...
And I love the intrigue. This is an intriguing year for the New England Patriots.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about what they've lost on offense. And they still, you know, how do they come up with a way to operate without Welker, Hernandez, Lloyd, who I think he had an overrated year, but a lot of catches, and, you know, They threw the ball in his direction a lot, and potentially Gronk for a few games.
Well, I think as Patriots fans, we've become a little complacent, a little spoiled.
No
for
question.
Some people. I think this is a wake-up call. We need you back here.
Yeah.
You know, get into it. Brian, you mentioned intrigue. I think it's an incredibly intriguing season.
Yeah.
I think if Brady has the same quarterback numbers he's had the last since 07, hand him the MVP because he'll have earned it.
Right.
And I also think that the defense this year is going to be better.
Yeah,
it's going to be better.
For the first time in a while, we're talking about a defense that is intact.
Right.
They've had so much turnover on defense. Obviously, if you look at their most recent drafts, the game plan has been we need youth and enthusiasm and speed and cornerstone players on defense. Well, what's the biggest loss on defense this past offseason was what? I can't even think. Who's the biggest loss they had?
Well, you know, Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick.
Yeah. And the big
but they brought in Tommy Kelly.
Patrick Chung. They brought in Tommy Kelly.
Adrian Wilson. I mean, hello. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Hello. Hashtag hello.
I'm excited to see Adrian. Yeah. I'm really excited about that one.
Well, there's reason to believe in the defense because there are now some cornerstone players who have now been together for a little while.
Yeah.
If this defense doesn't improve this year, then we really have to question the overall scheme of the defense, I truly believe.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's a Bill Belichick thing or a Matt Patricia thing, but if the defense this year...
Well, what thing would it be then? You could say it.
Okay. I'm saying it's
right.
the scheme.
They need to look at it.
I'm saying it's the scheme.
Right.
It's because you can't question that they have talented players.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've brought in the right players in the draft. It looks like, you know, their recent drafts defensively looks like they've brought in some cornerstone players. So if they don't improve significantly this year, then yes, I think we truly can question the scheme. We have to question. See, right now, 2013, this would be where guys drafted in 07, 08, 09 would be in their prime. Well, those drafts were debacles, with the exception of Gerard Mayo, really. Those drafts were debacles. So now you're talking about the 10, 11, 12 guys that are younger, but this is where they have to be in their prime. They have to be the cornerstone of the defensive unit.
You know,
they've got to improve.
You need the year two jumps from Hightower and Jones. Yep. And if they have that, right there, you're better.
Yep.
Automatically, you are better if they improve from last year.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're talking about, a secondary that, you know, there's been so much turnover with the secondary for various reasons, performance and both on and off the field.
But this year they're pretty much all bad.
But, Tlaib didn't come in midway. Now he's there for a whole training camp, a whole offseason. That's got
to
help him with the Patriots system. Wilson gets a year better.
Yeah.
You mentioned Adrian Wilson coming in. So I think the secondary, which has been, part of the problem, should be better this year.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And if not, they have to make some significant changes in personnel, in coaching, in scheme. They have to because I just think the carryover, I think in being in the locker room every day last year, the secondary seemed to be
really close.
Really close.
Yeah.
Now, who knows what that really means on Sunday at 1 o'clock? It probably doesn't mean everything. I mean, who cares if they were best friends? But I think they worked out a lot together. I think they enjoyed each other's company, and the communication probably fed off of that, fed off the communication. If they spent time together in the offseason and in camps, I don't think any of those guys weren't here during camp. They re-signed Arrington. If Arrington is your third cornerback behind Tlaib and Dennard, I think that helps. I don't think he should be one of your top two, but if he's your third, and if Logan Ryan can contribute as a nickel guy or a dime guy, I think you've got a pretty good cornerback core. I think they need to see exactly what Devin McCourty and where Devin McCourty should be, but I think they've got the right pieces in place. They better improve this year.
All right, another phone caller. Orlando's in Springfield, Mass. Hey, Orlando, what's going on?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
It feels like we're in Orlando.
Yeah,
it feels like it's about 105 degrees right now.
Steamy in here.
Anyway,
yeah, it sucks. It definitely sucks. Hey, listen, just want to know what you guys thought of what you think Ryan Logan is going to fit in to this defense next year.
Well, I think you mean Logan Ryan, but hey, the guy has two first names. I mean, he's just asking for trouble. Well, I just mentioned, I think if all goes according to plan, meaning health and performance, he shouldn't be any better than your fourth cornerback. Now, your fourth cornerback plays a role. I mean, you sometimes in passing offenses right now, your fourth cornerback is going to play cornerback in NFL games. He's also going to be a special teams guy. You know, you hope that Tlaib and Dennard are your starters, are healthy, are productive. They signed Arrington to a huge contract. It's not for him to sit or for him to just be special teams. He's your number three cornerback. I think Logan Ryan is competing with Rossi Dowling and Marquise Cole, guys like that, for that fourth cornerback spot. Now, Logan Ryan's making the team. It's a matter of, is he going to be on the 46-man game day rosters? Does he need a development year? I haven't seen enough out of him, and I would never claim after mini camps and everything to say I've got a guy pegged. I haven't seen enough out of him to see how he's going to react to NFL action. But you draft a guy in the third round, he's going to be your fourth cornerback, I think, this year.
Do you think the fact that he comes from Rutgers, do you think that helps him or hurts him coming into the program?
I think once they all take the field on July 25th, I don't think it matters where they came from. I really feel that way. Back in April, when we all joked about how many Rutgers guys they were bringing in, yeah, that mattered because Belichick knows the Rutgers guys. Once they're on the field on July 25th, I don't think it matters.
But it does help them with acclimation. You know, I know all these Rutgers guys, it's a big joke in the locker room. We had Shane Vereen, and he was joking about it, how McCourty had his Rutgers jersey up in his locker. And just the fact that they come in and they have people they know, I think that helps you in any situation. So for those guys that in Rutgers, it will help them at least get used to the environment a little bit and ease that transition. Once they get on the field, though, Brian, you're right. I mean, You got it. Now you're on your own.
Right. Yeah. You think Josh Boyer, when he's running cornerback drills in the middle of training camp, is going to care at all whether Logan Ryan is from Rutgers and knows Belichick or not versus whether Rossi Dowling? You know, I don't think that matters at all.
I agree.
But I think just going back a little bit to like the Urban Meyer and all that. Clearly, the Rutgers program is one that Bill Belichick knows well.
Right.
He knows the players better, and there's several reasons for that. We can joke all we want about it, but he knows these guys better than he knows players from a lot of other programs. And you know, right now, you give the benefit of the doubt that he saw something enough in this guy to bring him in. I think the other interesting one is Daron Harmon, because he was – what round was he drafted? Third as well, right?
He was the surprise draft.
Right. A third-round pick is making the team. They've cut third-round picks going to their second and third year and all that. A third-round pick is making the team. He's the Tavon Wilson of this year. Like, Tavon Wilson, no one knew who he was, but he was making the team. The moment he was drafted, there wasn't any chance they were cutting a second-round pick that first year. So, Daron Harmon, where does he fit in? You mentioned Adrian Wilson. If you figure Devin McCourty and Adrian Wilson potentially are your starting safeties, you figure Steve Gregory and Tavon Wilson are battling. Maybe they don't both make the team, but they're battling for another spot.
Now, do you notice that you have a very funny thing? You look at your thumb all the time.
I look at my thumb. Well,
you do.
Do you have notes on the thumb? Or
I know. It's like this secret.
He talks and looks at his thumb.
Really?
I don't know if you have the time on your finger.
I didn't even realize that.
What are you doing?
Fred, I have really nice hands.
I know, but what you look at your thumb. Do you know that you're doing that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I look specifically at the thumb.
You go like this. You're talking, and you look at your thumb, and then you talk, and then you look at your thumb.
It's almost as common as saying, I mean.
These are great thumbs, Fred.
I know, but I didn't know if you realized you're doing that.
Look at these thumbs?
Do you need us to bring in a manicurist to fix them up a little?
It could only hurt the thumbs. I think the thumbs are in exquisite shape. George Costanza was a hand model.
That's true.
And I think I could. I didn't realize I was doing that.
You don't realize that?
No.
Okay, now you know.
Now I'm going to be obsessed with it.
You really get involved there, didn't you?
Now I'll be obsessed with it.
Right.
Thanks for pointing it out.
It's just I've been watching for the last hour.
Really?
He does.
Fred,
he does.
Feel free to look at my thumbs as well if it'll help.
Okay. All right.
They're on display. I should go talk to Brian Morey. Maybe put him on display at the hall.
Web rated the thumbs of Lowe.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I like it.
We'll come up with something.
JD writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Longtime listener, New England transplant, now living in San Francisco. I was in Rhode Island last week visiting family, and to beat the heat, I stopped at a Dell's. We love Dell's.
Miss
Georgia.
It's been Georgia hot. Yeah.
Georgia hot.
Yeah.
As I reached the counter and prepared to order, I started having an uncontrollable laughing fit as the image of Jim Fossil stealing Fred's Dell suddenly popped into my head. Pretty sure I freaked out the poor girl manning the register, but whatever. That is definitely my favorite story time with Fred Kirsch.
I know you're a big fan of Dell's.
Yeah.
I don't know the Jim Fossil story.
Well, maybe after we do the break,
I'll play the bit.
You'll play the story.
Okay.
Anyway, one of my main tenets, this is still JD, under Bill Belichick has always been ignore the noise. But this year, with the pundits and some opposing players openly announcing the 2013 Patriots dead on arrival, do you think Bill would possibly want this year's squad to embrace the noise to fuel the first legitimate chip on the Patriots' shoulder since 2004? This is the first year in forever that the disrespect is genuine and not something that has to be falsely manufactured. I don't know, Spygate was kind of genuine too, but
yeah,
I get your point. Do you use this as a motivating factor, this whole offseason and, you know, everybody writing off the Patriots?
Yeah.
And not just not
That's
just
what
Hernandez.
I was gonna say earlier.
It's the Welker situation.
Yeah.
And all that.
He'll use whatever it takes.
Of course
that's
they will.
That's what I meant, like, by Brady's not sitting in the corner crying. I mean, they. Right. I think it does give him some motivation.
And I think it's different. You know, the ignore the noise. I think in season, you know, don't read the paper every day. Don't listen to the radio. But when he gathers them for their first squad meeting at the beginning of training camp or at the beginning of the season, yeah, you better believe it. If he feels that, fueling that internal fire of here are the 10 reasons why everyone's counting us out,
right,
he'll use that. But I think that's different from the in-season ignore the noise. I think that's all about, oh, you know, if the Globe and Herald are writing glowing stories about you, Logan Ryan, you know, don't even listen to them. You haven't done anything. That's ignore the noise. Fueling the motivation at the beginning of the season because...
Embrace the hate.
Yeah. Embrace the hate. He'll use that.
Yeah. I don't think
he's on his boat right now, he's thinking of what motivating tools am I going to use? And if Hernandez is one of them.
If they have a bad year, I don't think they will have a bad year this year, actually. I don't think that the story will end with Aaron Hernandez for this team this year.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, they'll be.
I think that they're gonna,
you know,
come out.
I know we haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004, but we've been into 11-7.
Right.
Had a perfect season, have won the AFC East every year except, you know, when Matt Castle, and even then they were 11-4. You know, been in the playoffs, won more games than any team during this span. You know, we're still. You can't call it a dynasty, but we're still on the top of the mountain. And everybody wants to knock the Patriots off, you know. So
that's,
you know, they're just waiting for that to happen.
And they're getting, you know, they're getting. If you go, you know, going back to Spygate and the fact that they've had some big home playoff losses, some devastating results in the Super Bowl, some off the field issues. That is all what non-Patriot fans, and there are a lot of non-Patriot fans out there, use to say. It's over for the Patriots.
That's what they've got in the back of their pockets.
And Patriot fans, I'm telling you, don't worry about it. It makes it that much sweeter to win and say, you know what? You can't stop us.
Yeah.
You can try, but you can't stop us. Throw it all at us. It doesn't matter. We're still coming to your place, and we're going to make you our bitches.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a way to go out for the first hour.
See, we say that stuff on
the show. I know. Y'all
can't say that on Patriots.
No, you can't.
Jim and Walpole. Says, do you, any of you happen to know how strict the pro shop staff was with the jersey exchange? My son's Hernandez jersey is not Nike or Reebok, so I didn't bother to go, but I'm dying to know if they would have let him exchange it anyway. I don't know.
It's hard to
I don't
speak for
think
them.
So,
I don't know,
I mean,
if there were any situations and how they handled it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Not anybody I talked to had any issues where they couldn't return it, but they made an exception, so I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, it seems like, you know, if there.
I think there were four specific styles that are sold at the pro shop, and you know, I think if it's clearly one that wasn't sold at the pro shop,
I think it's not so much sold at the pro shop. I think if it was Nike or Reebok, they were exchanging it. You didn't need a receipt or anything like that.
Who keeps a receipt?
But if it was, you know,
clear knockoff,
you know, Johnny's brand. I'm not sure what they would have done. I haven't heard. So I don't know.
That's a good question.
Don't know.
Charlotte is calling in from Sweden, or Stockholm to be exact.
Sure.
She says currently spending 2 weeks in Villefranche-sur-Mer with some friends. One of them is not only my PT. What is that PT?
Physical therapist?
Maybe. But also a diehard Eagles fan.
Patriots today.
And we made two bets. Now I need Dr. Fred and company to help me argue that I'll win them both.
Okay.
I said we'd win our division, and they won't, the Eagles. Okay. Also, we'll go further into the playoffs than they will. I've argued Brady, Belichick, in that our division is weaker than theirs. What else? Hope you're all as well as I am. Sun, drinks, and food is the theme. Well, I'll tell you why. That's a good bet, Charlotte. It's because first year coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chip Kelly, good coach,
yep.
But Bill Belichick was 5-11 his first year with the Patriots. It's not always that easy. I don't think
just
they're settled
you ran
at quarterback.
Oregon's offense.
Yeah, I don't think they're settled at quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that the Giants had a down year last year. I think they'll be better. I think
top to bottom, that's a much tougher division.
I think you add all that up, but most of all, first year coach, I think you're in the driver's seat with that bet.
Yeah, well, there have been some first-year coaches who have had some success.
They
certainly have. But I think I look at what's interesting about a first-year coach is when that coach comes in, does the player personnel already on hand fit what the schemes are that he wants to do, or will he adapt his schemes to the players he has? That's a real key thing in the NFL, because you can't just take 53 guys and change scheme and all that. And it takes more than 1 year to revamp your roster and mold it into what you want to do. But I look at the division. I can't see the Eagles winning that division for the reasons that you said, the new coach and changing systems. But tell me, of those four teams in that division, which one would you say they got no shot?
Right.
None of them.
Right.
None of them.
You know, it depends. Now, RG3, how he comes back is a big deal.
Certainly.
The Giants have to play better on defense than they did last year, but I think they will. And, you know, the Cowboys, it comes down to Romo, as it always does, but they're sticking
with
them.
They're going to be competitive. They'll be competitive.
Yeah.
That's a competitive division.
Yeah.
You know,
all right, let's take a break. We've been doing this for over an hour now. Food's here. I got to get a little nourishment. When we come back, we have a ton more emails we have to get to. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to
try. It's called slush. Anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, that's the Dell story.
That's wow. Funny.
Have you ever come across Jim Fossil since?
No.
I'm curious to know how he liked Dells.
I'm sure he wouldn't remember me from...
He's not going to remember you, but he'll remember the Dells if it's as good as you say it is.
Maybe. But I do like the analogy of the Putin ring.
Yeah.
My Dells thing happened well before Putin.
Really?
Right.
Right.
That's a great story. And, you know, with coaching staffs these days, they're big coaching staffs. He probably needed more than just your 9.
Probably. There were guys that, you know, didn't get Dells.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor guys.
That's funny.
Poor guys. Good story.
Well, you did the right thing, Fred.
What Dell should do is give me free Dells for life.
That
went viral.
Every time Kevin replays, what'd that cost you, like 60 bucks total? Kevin replays. Yeah, you had to go back and get him
get more Dells.
Now, was Mike Reese on staff at that time? Trying to think who were the...
He might have been. Maury definitely was. Maury. And, you know.
Perillo, too?
I'm not sure. Maybe pre-Perillo? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Wow.
Paul, it's just like slush. Yeah. No, it isn't. Paul, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, you can't really talk to him about local flavor.
Yeah. Actually, I had a dream. We have dreams a lot here, work dreams.
I do, too.
No. It's not that you have more dreams or anything than anyone else. It's just that you guys feel free to...
I talk about mine all the time.
But listen to this dream. This is the weirdest dream, and it's very vivid. You know how sometimes you can't...
I remember
everything about this dream. It was in Everett, and there was this park, like almost like the Boston Commons.
Okay.
But this park was put there for legalized betting and drugs, and it was a place to kind of corral everybody in one place and let them do what they want, you know, but we control.
Jackie might not know that Paul is from Everett.
Yeah.
That's the key point.
Oh, okay.
But you can control it. So, and they had 6 markers, and each marker was a number, 1, 2, 3, 1 through 6. And in each of these areas was a different thing. So, like, marker 1 was you know, drugs. Marker two was gambling. Marker three was prostitution.
Wow, what were you thinking about before?
You know, so I was with Paul. And the story here is that Paul hadn't seen his father in, like, years. They had had a divide, which is the exact opposite. They're very close.
Oh, okay.
Sure, Al's a great guy.
Paul's father is a saint. I don't know how he puts up with Paul. But in my dream, he hadn't talked to Paul's father for years. And Paul's father was a gambler and drinking, you know.
Okay.
So he wasn't a good dad. And we came there that day to sort of mend the fences. And so Paul's dad comes up to this gambling window and – Paul's has a talk with him, and things still aren't working out. And I ended up walking out of this area with Paul's dad into the parking lot and smashing his head.
Oh.
And, like, geez. To the point where there was, like, nothing left on his neck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and, like, I felt really bad, but I did it in self-defense. So I felt really bad about killing Paul's father, but Paul understood.
Wow.
Like, he understood why I had to do it.
It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, and then I ended up killing somebody else's father in the same dream.
Well, you're on a roll. I mean, why not?
But once again, it was in self-defense.
Oh.
And the other guy understood, too. So it was really weird.
That is weird.
Did you keep it going? I mean, hey, if everyone's understanding.
No, I had to wake up eventually. But
to do the show at noon.
But I was killing people's fathers. I don't understand.
Yeah, what?
Happy Father's Day, Fred.
Yeah,
maybe you should see somebody about that.
It was really, I was like literally bludgeoning their head to a pulp.
Oh my gosh.
Like it was exploding. Brains were everywhere.
That's weird. See, I had a dream about that Bilo had a bird, this little black bird, and my only responsibility was to just take care of the bird, you know, feed the bird, play with the bird. And I think that this happened because the day before I said, if you ever need a babysitter, I've done nannying before. And so it's my job to take care of this bird.
Did
and
the
I
bird
kill
keep
it
looking
somehow.
At its thumb?
No, it didn't. But the bird was like, it was on the fence. Like, I couldn't tell if it was dead, couldn't tell if it was alive. And so I kept just putting it off.
On the fence is perfect.
Below. Yeah, he's, perfect. He's, I'm always on the fence.
That fence
I'm
like nobody.
I'm always on the fence. Listen, you can do whatever you want to that bird. Just don't bludgeon my father to death.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Whatever you want to do
harmless.
To the bird,
mine's
you do what you got to do. Self-defense,
whatever.
It came
whatever. Back to life.
Keep
I got
my dad. Keep my dad out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I
please.
Have some violent dreams. I had a dream once where I buried an axe in Andy's back. Like, just took an axe and just buried it in his back.
If only dreams could come true in your life. Huh, Fred? I mean, isn't that the moral here?
Right.
Some, you just
you hear that, Andy?
Dream.
No, I told Andy. He was, I told
he was
about
fine
it
with it, I'm sure.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners share that opinion with you, Bilo, if only dreams could come true.
Yeah. If only dreams about sticking an axe in Andy Hart's back could come true. A lot of people believe that.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We're talking everything Patriots and some other things. Scott from the Jersey Shore writes in. He's a longtime listener and 12th-time emailer.
Wow.
Yeah. Our emailers now count the number of times they email.
Wow.
I've been a fan of the team since 93. And one of my favorite seasons was the Matt Castle year of 08. It was kind of nice watching AFC East teams games and not knowing if you were going to win. It made the victory seem that much sweeter and the losses not sting so much. The fans that are crying about the upcoming season because woe is we may not win 12 games anger me. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the season. If you need to feel better, just imagine being a fan of one of the 25 or so other teams that have no chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Amen.
Well, I disagree about 25 or so teams that have no chance. I mean, I think you go into any NFL year, and there's really only a handful of teams that you could really say have no chance.
But I think being a Patriots fan, I mean, you get a little you get a little spoiled.
There's,
right?
Well, yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, hey, the Castle year was – I used the word intriguing earlier in the show about this upcoming year. Yeah, that was really intriguing to see how this Patriots team could function without Tom Brady, who was at the height of his game. And they turned out to be really, I mean, how many 11-5 teams don't make the playoffs? I mean, rarely does an 11-5 team not make the playoffs. And not that anyone's looking for, you know, Ryan Mallett to step in for Tom Brady in week one this year and see what's going on, but I just think there's something about the intrigue of different factors at play than there had been in the past, and maybe the Patriots aren't at the height of their aren't at the peak of their overall organization right now. How do they handle some of that adversity?
But I think that year, you know, a lot of people said, well, look, you know, they can even win without Tom Brady, but it also showed the greatness of Tom Brady.
Of course. Because
people forget they were 16-0 the year before.
And had a lot of the same parts coming back.
Right. And they ended up being an 11-5. And the five games they lost, they truly lost to better teams. You know, they went to San Diego and
got bludgeoned.
Really had a hard time there.
The Miami home game, obviously, the Wildcat game was a blowout.
Yeah, so you know, Castle couldn't get them over the hump the way a Brady made them undefeated the year before.
Right. And nor should he have. I mean, no. Matt Castle shouldn't have been able to.
He's a backup quarterback.
And good for him. The timing was right for him to have a good enough year to get himself a pretty good contract. But you're right. That did highlight, you know, how good Brady is and, you know, how good the overall system was in place with the team.
Yeah.
You know, and I said before that as long as Tom Brady is playing, you know, the majority of the games this year, they're going to win the division. Who's to say if Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady has never had one of those years, and knock on wood, I'm not saying I'm looking for this to happen, has never had one of those years where there's lingering injuries that keep him out of game here, keep him out of game there. We've never dealt with that. The only year that he missed any games, he suffered a season-ending injury in week one. So it was, okay, out with Tom Brady, we got this guy. Law of averages, there might be a year sometime where he has, you know, he tweaked an ankle, he's going to miss a game, the second game he comes back, he's not 100%, Ryan Mallett has to come in. That's where we're going to see what, you know, when it's kind of the up and down nature. When Brady was out for the year in 08, you knew he's out for the year in 08 right off the bat. Matt Castle's the guy, it's his game, it's his team. What happens when there's a year, if there's a year, where it's kind of more up and down with Brady?
Chris in Toronto says, I just wanted to pass along some kudos to Paul for his interesting piece on NFL.com and thepatriots.com regarding all-time under- and overrated Patriots. I would encourage my fellow PFW listeners to read it, but only on patriots.com, right, Fred? That's correct. he says, Andy, are you green with envy? And Paul, I like the list, but I'm surprised that one Patriots alumnus did not make it for you one way or another. Hint, his initials are DB. Paul's a big Drew Bledsoe fan.
Oh.
Well, you know, I don't think Paul would, he wouldn't be overrated in Paul's eyes. We know that.
Yeah, that's a tough list. The overrated part was tough because, you know, like a guy like Steve Grogan, everybody loves him. Yeah. But let's face it, around here he's a little overrated.
And the whole idea of a column like that, and it's a great concept, especially in June and July in the NFL, is discussion, reaction. No two fans are going to have the exact same list of top five overrated, top five underrated, and it's compelling. It's you know, it brings up divisive discourse, which is always pretty cool. And I'm sure I know in talking to Paul a couple times as he was writing that, you know, he agonized over a couple, I think, of those decisions and who to include on overrated and underrated. But pretty good concept, pretty good article.
Mike writes in. He says, I'm sitting at my internship at EMC and I see our corporate account retweeted by the great Fred Kirsch. Hope the Wi-Fi servers are all right there. Yeah, we had a little incident over the weekend.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Not little, but companies like Enterasys and EMC and Wally Computer really stepped up and gave us equipment so that we could get through the Revs game.
Yeah.
You know, now we're rebuilding everything. It was a real pain.
Mm.
But I tweeted it out thanking all those
companies.
But Mike's question revolves around the D-line. Obviously, projected starters are Chandler, Ninko, Kelly, Wilfork. But I think this year there is a great wealth of depth. Have you guys seen any indication of the roles for the following? Armstead, Vega, Bernard, or Francis? I think all four, especially Francis, could end up making the team and becoming contributors. Also, if you have to choose, would you choose Ballard or Fells?
Love the show.
Thanks for all you guys do.
First on the D-line, I think I'm going to disagree on a wealth of depth. I don't think there's a wealth of quality depth on the defensive line. I mean, I think they have bodies right now, but I think if I'm going to say what's one of the red flags on the Patriots defense right now, I might say it's defensive line depth. You're talking about a lot of players with question marks. I mean, Armand Armstead is coming in off the CFL, has, you know, medical red flags. I'm very much intrigued to see what kind of contributions he could make. I think he's going to be in the rotation among interior defensive linemen. But, you know, Marcus Bernard, Jermaine Cunningham, Justin Francis, these guys could be rotation players, and some of them will make the team. I don't think there's great depth on the defensive line at all. I really don't. I think he mentioned the four starters, and those should be the projected four starters. I'd be a little worried about the depth there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an opinion on Bernard or Vega, you know, Armstead. Haven't
right.
really.
How can
I mean,
you?
Yeah.
Well,
but,
and that's. I guess that's part
we
of
know
my point.
No, Vega stinks.
But
he
I like.
Well, I think that's part of my point. Is there's a lot of there are a lot of question marks among the players who are going to be counted upon to be in the rotation on defensive line.
Yeah. I think Francis is. I've got it. I feel good about him.
Francis might be the one, sort of in the, you know, a different player than Kyle Love, but undrafted free agent who opened eyes in his first year and has a chance to make that second year leap. I think Francis for sure will be in the mix, but still, this is a team that, tends to have six or seven defensive linemen in that rotation, every year. And it's also an area that they've definitely had some injuries in the past, and you're going to need maybe 8 or 9 or 10 guys over the course of the season. I'd be questioning exactly where they are. You know,
yeah,
Brandon Dedrick and Kyle Love, while they're not all pros by any stretch of the imagination, had sort of settled into rotation players that could somewhat be counted upon. They're replaceable for sure. But I do question who they have behind the starters.
But Tommy Kelly, we can assume he's pretty consistent, right?
I think he's had a pretty good career. I think he's a pretty good signing.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with him.
You know, Gerard Warren type of signing. You know, I think you pencil him in as a starter. He should be pretty safe. But stranger things have happened than a guy like Tommy Kelly not panning out. And if the Patriots are shorthanded in the interior of the defensive line, if they're relying on Armand Armstead and guys like that, I think they could be caught shorthanded a bit.
Yeah.
And then the other question was Fells versus Ballard.
Right.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, really.
Because
good question.
I think I speak for Jackie as well. Ballard did not impress me during mini camps, more because I feel like he's still
a little ginger.
Little
he's
ginger.
Feeling that
not running
still,
well.
It looks like.
And, you know, I'm very curious to see what he's going to be like during camp and in the preseason games. He's certainly in that short list of key players to watch. I think Fells is, you know, if everything was status quo with Gronkowski and Hernandez, yeah, I think Fells could have been a guy on the odd man. It could have been an odd man out at tight end. But I think now, I think he's a pretty versatile guy who can block. He can catch a few passes. I think he's going to remain in the mix, but. You know,
I've got Hooman above Fells and Ballard's last on my list.
On the Jackie Britton unofficial depth
chart?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have Ballard behind Sudfeld.
Yeah, I think Ballard has a lot to prove health-wise.
Yeah.
A lot to prove health-wise.
And when we were talking earlier about being held back, I think you were talking about Michael Jenkins being held back a year. I think this past year's really hurt Ballard. I think he's going to be really behind, and I think that he looked really behind during minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can.
I mean,
afford...
there weren't no defenders on him, and he still didn't look.
Yeah, great. No, he didn't look great. He didn't look great to us in camp. So, but that's, you know, a guy misses a full year and has the kind of surgery and kind of injury he had. You know, you want to be a little patient with him. Can they afford to be patient with him? That's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Sudfeld had 8 touchdowns his senior year.
Eight.
I mean, that's a lot. That's something to be said about that. Something to be said about that.
That's a few
and I
touchdowns.
Know it's college, but.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had 6 years in college.
Yeah. No, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? We saw 2 different birth dates. I saw 86 and 89, but we know he's older than Gronkowski, who's 24.
Yeah.
I think so he's 24. I think Sudfeld's 24. And you know,
I think you're wrong. I think he's like 27.
I don't think. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
ESPN had 86 on
the
there.
The thing about it is, it's probably something we could probably find out pretty easily.
Yeah.
Exactly what his age is.
TG and NJ says, so Fred, your dreams expose your alter ego as a serial dad killer who's trying to frame Andy Hart. Seems Mr. Kraft was duped twice. He also wants to know, what's the deal with the new logo on the website? He's referring to the new font.
Yeah. Right. Looks manly.
And a new logo on the
end zone. Yeah, I'm
not crazy
about it. It's been something that they've been working on for over a year now. They've wanted to change that Patriots script. They thought it looked a little dated. So they've been working on this, and eventually this will be what you see in the end zone. And
I think,
and
are we?
Is that what we're
going to
see on Patriots Football Weekly?
Eventually, yeah.
I think, and aren't we going to be putting it on videos?
I think so.
I think that it'll.
I think so, and in the end zone, right?
Yeah.
I think it
looks too Texas, too Western.
Okay.
You know, with the points.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks. I've said this before. We're stuck with the Patriots. We're the Patriots. Okay. I don't
always say that like
you're
so disappointed.
What a shame.
But in terms of having fun with your name, mm-hmm. it's tough when you're like a person. You know, it's tougher to have a fun with a person mascot than it is an animal or something else. You know, mm-hmm. you can't. So we're the Patriots, and I think we should embrace that. You know, we should own patriotism. We should own America.
Are you
America.
Saying they should stick with red, white, and blue in the
America.
Logo?
Yeah, I think
really?
So.
They've got the flying Elvis in there.
Yeah,
red, white, and blue. Should they stick with that in the
yes.
logo?
Yes, really.
But I think so. Maybe something
right.
a little bit more
you
colonial
can't ever say
in
no
terms of the font,
red, white,
rather
blue.
Than this looks too Texas to me.
I agree. I didn't think you about know? That before, but maybe a little. It's all right. I don't really care.
It's
one
not
way
a big
the
deal.
Other.
The Elvis yeah. is remaining. That's the
right.
Patriots.
As long
logo.
As they don't get rid of that
that's
or
the
red, white,
that's the Patriot way.
Right.
The Elvis.
Yeah. We finally figured it out after an hour and a half.
Yep.
Pratt is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. First off, I'm proud to be a fan of such a classy organization that handled the flurry of the Hernandez situation in the best way possible. Similarly, I think the Patriots' offense will have its struggles and growing pains, but to me, the key factors are the health of the wide receivers like Amendola and Edelman, along with how soon Gronkowski can be back on the field at 100%. According to me, no matter what, the Patriots will start the season 3-0. If Gronk can get back on the field by week 4 or 5 and Amendola Edelman are clicking, the backup tight ends are stepping up, and the running game continues what they did from last season, this team will be fine. Tom Brady will develop chemistry with a few other guys, and by the time we hit our bye week, I think our offense will be clicking. Our defense has the talent level to be a top 10 D and will be much, much better this year. Leon Washington will reintroduce excellent kick returning skills and special teams. With Brady, Belichick, and our consistency of keeping players on D intact, our team has potential to win it all. We will be a playoff team at the very least.
Wow. Get him in the studio.
That's Pratt from Maryland.
Rob Gronkowski is their second most important offensive player. Now, can we agree with that?
He's their second most
important offensive player.
Sure.
We saw that. You know, we saw what was missing when he was out in recent playoff games and when he was hobbled in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that led to some pretty close losses. I think the length of time that Gronkowski misses, if he misses at all, is really going to be a huge part of this team. And I'm certainly of the opinion, give him more time, be more patient with him at the beginning of the season than your instinct might be, because the worst thing that could happen is he comes back too soon. We're talking about elbow
and then he's out again
and
at
back.
The end.
He's out again at the end.
So so reserve maybe the first part of the season. Let him.
I think putting him on PUP is not the end of the world. To me, I mean, I think you can get by those first 6 weeks of the season. The very early part of the schedule is such that they should be able to get by without Rob Gronkowski. And
Six games is a lot.
No, it is a lot.
It's a lot. Though.
It is a lot, but it's better to not have Rob Gronkowski for those first 6 games than to lose him for the playoffs. Now, that's not to say he can't get hurt again and miss the playoffs again, but I am of the belief that you're more patient with him this year coming off of 5 surgeries. Don't rush Rob Gronkowski back. He's too important.
Well, I think that a lot of people probably agree with you on that.
Well, no, I think that there's a lot of varied opinion on
more important to have him at the end of the season.
Right, and like I said, you can't guarantee that he's going to be around for the playoffs just because he goes on PUP, but the wear and tear of the way he plays over 16 games and then 19 games, if you think you're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl, is a lot to handle, especially if you're coming off an offseason where you had 5 surgeries.
And can we assume he'll be the same player, the way he fell on his arm every single time before the time it actually broke?
Well,
you know, can we assume that he'll have that same mentality?
I don't think he's got much fear. So I don't think he'll play gingerly. I don't think, you know, I think once he's out there.
Yeah,
he's back. Okay.
And, you know, to Brian's point, that could lead to another injury. It certainly could.
He's the
type
of player.
Reckless abandon.
Yeah.
But that's what we want, you know.
There's going to be injury
risk. If he doesn't do
risk.
That, then he's not Rob Gronkowski.
Right. And there's going to be injury risk with him throughout his career, which, you know, I sort of think he might have a shorter career than the norm for a player of his stature because – these injuries, the wear and tear, the surgeries are going to add up. He came into the league having missed a full season due to a back injury. I just think there's going to be a point in time where he can't change the way he plays. Otherwise, he won't be the Rob Gronkowski that we know and that everyone's relying on. But I think in this particular year, he's too important a piece to rush him back. And I know PUP in season means he's going to be on PUP and he's not going to be able to participate in training camp. I don't care. don't keep him out of training camp.
Well, I leave that to the doctors and the trainers.
Certainly.
And when he's ready, when he's back, I will assume he's ready.
Yeah.
Whether that's week one or week eight, I'm not, you know, Eric gets very, he gets very upset when, I say, why couldn't he come back in week two? Well, they'd be rushing him. I'm like, no. If he's here, if he's playing in week two, that means they think he's ready. Well, no, they'd be rushing him. How do you know, Eric? How do you know that they're rushing him?
We don't know. But if I'm looking into where he's at on July 25th, if I think, well, you know, it looks like he's still going to need 4 to 6 weeks, and that puts him ready for week one, I'm looking at the back end of that 4 to 6 weeks. I'm saying let's not project him to be back for week one. Let's think about week three.
In terms of my psyche and, you know, my own, I'm
better
not
off
planning
assuming
on
he's
seeing,
out. Yeah.
You know, because I get all, you know, excited. And, oh, he'll be back. And then I get disappointed.
Yeah.
It's just a big letdown. So for my own sake, I'm not counting on him to begin the season.
For the 12-year-old in you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Not the axe murderer in him.
Right.
Or the 12-year-old. Not the
not
daddy
that a 12-year-old couldn't be an axe murderer. It could happen.
It could.
You know?
12-year-olds could kill other people's dads.
True.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, I'd rather be on the safe side with Gronk. At different times, you know, he came back. Who knows if he came back too early in that Houston playoff game from the first surgery? But that's the time where you do rush a guy back. Or you do maybe take a chance. It's a playoff game. There's only a few of them.
Patrice Bergeron. Right.
That right now, in the beginning of a 16-game NFL season, I don't think is the time to try to get a guy back in the early end of a 4 to 6 week timetable, 6 to 10 week timetable.
Right.
Let it play out.
Nick writes in, I have a quick story. The other day I was with some friends and family. We were playing this game, Battle of the Sexes. The basic premise is that men answer questions about female topics and women answer questions about guy things. It was because of this very show that I was able to give Chaz Bono as the answer to a question, therefore contributing to a win, so thanks, PFW. So you learn a lot of things
on the
show.
You do.
Anyway, I did have a question about the team. Do you think, as of right now, the chances of a trade to bring in a skill position player are better or worse than they were a month ago? Personally, I hope they stick with what they have at wide receiver and bring in a free agent type to help a tight end, maybe Dallas Clark.
Well, I don't think we're going to see any higher profile or trade additions at wide receiver, because the way it works in the NFL is, you know, all the spring camps and mini camp are there for a reason, and a big part of that reason is get on the same page with the quarterback, understand the playbook, learn the scheme. You never know when they're going to bring in a new guy at a position for various reasons, but I would say who they have at wide receiver right now is who they're going to have.
They're going to be better off than anybody they bring in at this point.
Right. Exactly.
They've already established that offseason.
And if they get to a point, if Dobson and Boyce and a few of these other guys are not healthy and aren't participating at the beginning, well, yeah, then maybe they bring someone else in. But it's not going to be – it's unlikely it would be a trade. We just don't see that too often. I think at this point, mid-July, the guys they have are the guys they're going to training camp with. Now, as far as tight end – I certainly wouldn't be surprised if a Dallas Clark or a Dave Thomas, who used to be here, if they bring in one or even two of those guys, because the dynamics have changed so much at tight end than they were at the beginning of the offseason.
Right.
The dynamics have changed. What we, you know, back in March, we could see this coming at wide receiver once Brandon Lloyd was released and Wes Welker signed elsewhere. Okay, there's going to be major changes at wide receiver. The tight end dynamic changed a little later in the offseason. That I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two more guys brought in.
On another note, says Nick, Bill must be loving all the talk that's going on about the Patriots from other players. Ellerby saying the team is vulnerable in a story I read today that says an NFC executive claims teams are chomping at the bit to play the Patriots early could really help develop an us-against-the-world attitude that I'm not sure has been there for the team. I'd like to hear your thoughts. We talked about that a little earlier.
What did he say?
The Ellerby comments about
right.
Yeah, well,
us against the world type stuff.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of things that Belichick definitely uses, I think, and never discloses to the public that he used. You know, those, because those are, that's not media saying things or nonsense, real nonsense from the outside. That's the competition. That's the competition talking about how you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Hey, the competition doesn't know what we're doing back here. The competition has no idea what we have in store. Those are the kinds of comments that the Rodney Harrisons of the world always took into account, the Brewskis, and that still lingers. Danelle Ellerbe, who the Patriots now are going to face twice a year, and hey, they faced him a lot when he was with Baltimore, that's the kind of comment. I'm happy this emailer brought it up. Those are the comments, more so than the noise from the true outside, the media and the fans and all that. The comments from the competition, that's what they use.
Chris writes in, and he's from St. Louis. Is there any feedback from the Patriots receiving any of the Hernandez money back? Given this would happen, how much money would the Pats have left in the bank, and would they look into using it for extensions, working deals with other teams, or just hold on to it? Not entirely sure what the CBA will agree with, but hope we can put this in hindsight and look to improve the team from here. Thanks, and welcome, Brian, and he says Lindsay, to the show. It means Jackie.
Jackie. Well, I think a lot of that is still to play out, the salary cap ramifications. I mean, the money...
It's not a killer. If they don't get any money back, I think there's still like $9 million under the cap.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's in 2014 is the bigger cap hit from Hernandez. But you know, I think a lot of that is still to play out. I think they knew when they made the decision to cut him, they had to know that they were going to be taking a significant hit. You know, there might be some mechanisms in place where they'll get some salary cap relief, but I think they have to assume they're not going to get any salary cap relief. And I wouldn't read too much into what can they do with the money they saved. I don't think they've saved money here. I mean, it's if they cut a player for whatever reason it is this early in his contract, there's going to be a salary cap hit. There's not a whole lot they'll be able to do.
Stefan from Greenwich, England says, with the offense seeming vulnerable, is there any chance of the Patriots signing the best at his position, Vontae Leach? He's a free agent, and if we're going to lean on a running game, he could fit well. And by the way, did any of you guys catch Behind the Candelabra? I saw it at the cinema today and couldn't stop laughing. Matt Damon looked like a fat Tom Brady in drag.
I missed it.
Have not seen that. No.
I thought it was on HBO.
I don't know. Haven't seen it, but we'll have to make sure before I come on the show again. That I see it. Yeah. As far as Vontae Leach, he clearly is one of the best at his position, but I think this team hasn't proven that they're going to employ fullbacks. They brought in how many fullbacks were on the training camp roster last year?
Right.
You know, I don't think they're going to bring in Vontae Leach. I mean, I that would be a bigger surprise to me than Tim Tebow. That would be a very big surprise because they don't utilize him. They brought in Fiametta and Spencer Larson and
if there was a guy
Devlin
like Larry Stenners around who also could catch the ball.
Right. He had a lot more production in terms of rushing and receiving yardage when he came to the Patriots than Vontae Leach has in his career.
And they could probably use like Hooman or Tebow. Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
They could already
use
the sources they've got.
They
right
don't
now.
Like having a true fullback because that player is probably going to be limited.
Yeah.
They like to take the guys that they already have on the roster, like the ones you mentioned, use them in different. Dan Connolly too.
Use
guys who have many other uses on the team and employ them here and there at fullback.
Now, Jackie, you're a big Tebow fan.
Huge, massive Tebow fan.
What do you think?
Right?
How we had a poll on Patriots.
He's
about
being sarcastic.
How he's going to be used, you know, and there were like four choices, ranging from he's not even going to make the team to, you know, he's going to be in there as, you know, whatever, H-back.
Right.
What do you think?
I like Tebow, only not because he's an SEC guy, not because he went to Florida, obviously. But, you know, a part of me kind of feels bad for the kid. And I like the fact that the team brought him here to give him a chance. For him to be a tight end, he'd have to agree to that. So the chances of that happening are kind of slim.
Do you think even if he agreed to it, he could do it?
I don't know. We haven't seen. I mean, obviously we've seen like some running back. Yeah. But
so do you think he's gonna,
or he just stays?
Will get off the fence. Will we
get
see,
off my fence?
Will we will see it, Tim Tebow on game day in a game for a play? You know, more than one play.
This season, no.
No, in 2018, of course. This season,
no.
No,
okay. I think he stays.
No,
I think if he stays. He stays a third-string quarterback, if he stays.
Okay.
I think he is.
Because I don't think he'll agree to do anything else.
Of course he'll agree.
You think so?
Oh, yes. He'll do whatever they ask him to do. And look, all this
then
talk
why
about,
hasn't he yet?
Listen to me. Listen. This talk about last year, him not agreeing to doing what the Jets asked him to do beyond quarterback, that is a myth. prior to when they screwed him last year, he was playing on the punt return team. He was doing whatever they asked. He got pissed off when it was obvious that Mark Sanchez needed to be benched,
right. Okay.
And they wouldn't put him in the game.
And
that's when he got pissed off. But when the season started, he was willing to do anything they asked him to do.
Well, he didn't look terrible. I mean, I know that we're not taking assumptions just from minicamp and stuff, but he didn't look too bad out there.
I agree with you.
You can't assume, like, you don't know what they're, like, Brian and I have talked several times. Well, you don't know what they're running out there.
That's the truth.
I think he looked like a backup quarter. I don't think he looked any worse than any other backup quarter. You know, Paul and Andy, oh, looked terrible. Look at the way
he. No, he didn't look terrible.
He looks different because he's shorter and he's a lefty.
Yeah.
And he looks different, but I didn't think he looked terrible.
Are there any advantages to being a left-handed quarterback? Are things backwards?
Well, it is backwards for the offensive line, you know. Yeah.
So would that be an advantage?
Well, I mean, but you could also say that for the defense, it's such a change from the norm. You know, if you face Tim Tebow once in 16 games, it's such a change from the norm. It might force you during the week of practice to change, you know, to focus on that, and you could, rather than focusing on some other things, it could go either way.
I don't think he'll play this year, but I think he stays.
I don't think he'll play as quarterback, but I think he'll get on the field. I think he's going to do something.
I think he's going to have zero games active. He's going to be with us in the press box all year.
Really? Sitting right with us? That'd be fun.
No, I think I've already talked to other PR staffs. There's going to be, instead of just three seats for PFW, there's going to be four. It's going to be Tebow.
What do you think they're going to... I think
on Sunday he will hold a Sunday service before the game for fans.
Oh, so he'll travel too, and
yeah, he'll have like a revival thing out in the plaza.
Well, that's
we'll
nice.
Have a big tent and he'll...
I think
that's
it's very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be game day, and he's going to be on the roster, in my opinion. Game day inactive every year. He is
every game.
Every game. Sorry, every game. He's here to be a quarterback and only a quarterback. I don't think when they signed him and cut another quarterback at the same time. And they went into minicamp with only three quarterbacks. One of them's Tim Tebow. That, to me, said he's here to be a quarterback or nothing. He's a quarterback or nothing. He's spending 2013 in every meeting room, learning the playbook, following Tom Brady's every lead, and then
next
year...
So you think they'll keep three quarterbacks on the roster this
year? On the roster, yeah. I do. On the roster, not on the active game day roster. And then I think come next year, when this season ends, and they see what's going on with Mallett as far as trade possibilities, they see what Tim Tebow brought to them and how he developed this year, what other free agents are available, who's available in the draft, they'll figure it out then. I think they're willing to give the year to Tim Tebow to develop. We will not see him on the field, in my opinion, at all this
okay.
year.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Chris is in Canada. Hey, Chris.
Canada. Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Doing great.
I'm stoked to even be on the air, man. I listen every week, man. Huge fan.
Thank you.
Everyone keeps talking about Hernandez and all this stuff. I would rather know what's going on with the defense, man. Nothing's really seemed to have changed. I mean, they added Wilson from Arizona, but that seems to be everything. Like, where's Abraham? Like, where's the rest of these pieces that are... I don't think Tom Brady's going to have a problem throwing the ball at all. It's the defense that needs help still.
Well, when you say nothing's changed, if Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones takes a year or two jump, which, you know, is the biggest... Bill Belichick says the biggest jump in a player's career is from year one to year two. If they do that successfully, that in itself is a change to the defense. That makes the defense better. Would you agree?
I would agree with that.
All right.
I also just have one small last question. What's the difference between 3-4 and 4-3?
Well, 3-4, it depends on how many linebackers and how many linemen you have on the field at one time. That's the easy. So in a 3-4, you have three linemen, down linemen, and you have four linebackers. In a 4-3, you have four defensive linemen and three linebackers. But really more of, you know, how many you have of each, it's the technique that they're using more than how many they're using. So it you know, you can have different types of 3-4. For example, the 3-4 that the Patriots used to run was a lot different than the 3-4 the Steelers used to run. In the Patriots 3-4, it was more of a read and react where Wilfork the lineman would have what they call two-gap responsibility, where you'd really stand up your guy and be responsible for things on either side of you. So that was, you know, that was their 3-4, whereas the Steelers 3-4 was more of a blitzing, they call zone blitz type of thing, where sometimes a defensive lineman would actually drop back into coverage and a linebacker would run up and take his place and actually blitz sometimes, or just take his place in the run game. But it would just confuse the quarterback a lot. So, but you know, the easy answer is it goes by the number of off linemen and linebackers that you have on the field.
I think the only
I was playing Madden, and I'm like, what the fuck is 4-3 and 3-4?
Okay, all right. So you know, Chris,
you can almost say anything on PFW and Congress, right?
Yeah. Almost. Well, I think the only concern we talked about with the defense was the line, right?
Yeah, Well, I think depth on the line, but I think rather than looking at, well, who did they bring in this offseason and all that, the key is that all the players, other than Wilfork, I guess Wilfork and Mayo, the core of the defense, and Wilfork and Mayo are the two main guys, the core of the defense is all these younger guys that they've brought in the last couple of years, and high draft picks, fairly significant free agent signings, and it's, as a unit, are the players that we've brought in, the young players that we've brought in, ready to make that jump together. That's what they're doing. You mentioned Jones and Hightower, mm-hmm. obviously Spikes. Now we're talking about Jamie Collins. The guys in the secondary between McCourty, who now is in his fourth year, a leadership role on this team now, Arrington from a couple of years before, the draft picks from the last couple of years. The idea was bring in some youth, some speed, some intelligence, and have this unit grow together with Wilfork and Mayo kind of being the anchors. That's what they have to hope out of the defense. That's the key.
Sean writes in, huge fan. One question, who will Brady target without Welker or Hernandez? Gronk seems to always be getting hurt, and he's been injured recently. My name is Sean, and I'm from Illinois. Thanks so much.
I usually get the name and the location at the beginning. This guy went with at the end, but I like it. It's not about him. It's about the email.
Right.
Well, I think it's Amendola.
What's the question?
Who's Brady
will they target now that Welker's not there and Hernandez is not there and Gronk is hurt?
Okay, yeah.
Well, I think the expectation is Amendola, if he's healthy, has the most receptions on this team this year.
I think there's a little pressure on Julian Edelman this year.
Yeah, well, you know, is there pressure on him? I don't know.
I think it's time.
He's on a one-year deal.
Yeah, one-year deal.
Yeah.
And so, injury prone.
This will be a big year for him.
Yeah, I'm banking on him to emerge as the number two wide receiver amidst all the flotsam and jetsam that they have at wide receiver. But if Amendola, the hope would be that Amendola and Rob Gronkowski are 1-2 in receptions for the Patriots this year. Now, like I said, if Gronkowski is on PUP and only plays 10 games and this and that, well, maybe his total number of catches are lower. But I think we could see 3, 4, 5 guys on this team with 30, 35, 40 catches, not one guy emerge as that clear-cut number two guy. But Amendola was brought in to be Wes Welker. And if he's 80% of Wes Welker, even 70% of Wes Welker, it'll be all right.
Amendola has been brought in to be a sure-handed receiver. I don't think he's going to put up Welker numbers.
No.
I don't think you replace Wes Welker and expect somebody to do exactly what. But Amendola has been brought in to be a sure-handed receiver.
But I think we're going to see him line up in similar ways to how Welker did.
Oh, he's a slot guy.
He's
a little bit taller and some say faster.
Yeah.
And some even say he's got better hands than Welker.
Okay.
His problem is he gets hurt.
If Wes Welker decides to take the Patriots contract offer, whatever it was, would they have still tried to sign?
No, they would not have.
I think Danny Amendola is coming in to be Wes Welker. No one is going to be 100% of what Wes Welker was. He is elite and the best at his position. But if Danny Amendola plays every game and has 75 to 80% of the production that Welker had, which means 80, 85 catches, then that's pretty good.
Sure.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely.
That's what they're looking for.
Matt in Richmond, Indiana, goes through all the troubled players that the Patriots have signed over the years to show that Hernandez wasn't like them. But he ends up with the point, something we talked about earlier. To me, the Patriot way is how you deal with those players and others. When a player, no matter how good, wants more money than the Patriots think they're worth, they have no problem letting him go. See Richard Seymour and Asante Samuel. When a player becomes a distraction on the field or in the locker room, they let him go, such as Randy Moss. Team first is what I have always viewed as the Patriot way.
Yep, football and Patriots football is one of the most important things in your life. And
are you doing what's in the best interest of your team?
Yeah.
And if it's not,
then you're
going to
be gone.
Right.
Yeah, we'll find someone else.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that's what happened here with Hernandez.
They didn't stick around to see what the charges were.
Right.
He might have had a list there. They've brought in plenty of guys,
you know,
but the biggest part of the Patriot way, aside from are you buying into the Patriots and is football important to you, is are they winning? If we were in the middle of a stretch of Patriots football where they were winning 4 games, 6 games, 3 games, 2 games, 9 games, none of it would matter. None of how do these players buy in would matter. We wouldn't be talking about it a lick. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what kind of guys they are if they're not winning games. So that really what it comes down to is they're in the middle of not only the greatest stretch of play in team history, but one of the greatest stretches of play in NFL history.
But the question, Brian, is are they in this stretch because of the way they do things?
Well,
and that's the thing. You don't copy a team that is a perennial loser. You don't copy the way they do things. You copy the teams that are successful. And the way they do things part of the reason why they're successful? Obviously, Belichick and Brady is a big part of it. But is their system of doing things, their way of doing things, part of their success?
I'd say it's part. But they could have the exact same game plan organizationally under the Kraft family. In 5 years, if Bill Belichick isn't here and Tom Brady isn't here, they still operate the same way from a Patriot way standpoint, but it's a far different coach and a far different quarterback. I think we'll see that it might have we might have overrated.
If the quarterback's not good, you're not going to win it.
That's why the Patriots era that we're in, these last 12 years, it's not just that the Patriots have done so well with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Look at the other three teams in the division and how many coaches and quarterbacks they've cycled through.
Yeah.
The Patriots have lucked out in a way that they're in a division where the other three teams have been unable to get out of their own way in finding coach and quarterback.
Part of that is because they live in our shadow and they make bad decisions
right.
because they're under pressure.
They're affected under pressure.
We're forcing them into these
right.
bad decisions.
Every single coach.
Oh, you don't think
every
that
single time.
You
yeah.
don't think that that's. Look, listen to me. I remember
fine
when Bill Parcells first went over to the New York Jets. Rule number one on this team given to the new coach, Pete Carroll, was I don't care what you do not lose to the New York Jets. And, you know, that's you can't live your life as a football coach worrying about one other
team.
So
it's because of the pressure that the Patriots put on the Miami Dolphins that they hired Cam Cameron. It's because of the pressure that
Absolutely.
The Patriots put on the Buffalo Bills that they drafted J.P. Lossman
They're
in the first round.
They're making bad decisions.
Because of the pressure felt by the
Patriots.
Because
of the pressure that
April,
we are putting on
in
them.
In April of every
it's
year.
It's the force. Bill Belichick sits in his office.
Of course
and he
it is.
Of, the, you know,
of course it is.
He makes Buddy Nix make a phone call and not know that he's being recorded. He set that all
no,
up.
No, I think the Tampa Bay guy made the call, right? Who actually made the call?
I think that Buddy Nix.
Well, Buddy Nix thought he was.
Buddy
Nix
was
Buddy
calling
right
him
now.
Back. He
Buddy
was
Nix,
calling him back.
He's gone.
I don't know where Buddy
might
Nix
be consulting with them, but he was fired.
Yeah.
I don't believe that to be the case. I think that the three team, none of the three teams, we're talking about six positions in the AFC East. The three head coaches, the three quarterbacks of those three teams, they've gotten none of them right. In the 12 years of the Belichick
because they're under pressure.
Because of the pressure of the Patriots. Not only that.
Matt in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. Why, with the uncertain wideout situation, do the Patriots not go back to Brandon Lloyd? I know his impact wasn't as large as the Patriots wanted, but I'm sure they could sign him for less. In my opinion, the reason why he didn't get the reps he was expected to get was due to play calling and passes down the middle and not out wide. Why don't they change the offense and bring him back? Matt, here's the thing. He did get the reps. He caught 70 balls. He was thrown 140.
Yeah.
That's my problem with Brandon Lloyd. You know, everyone talks about yards after catch, and that was an issue. But to me, it's more the percentage of balls that he caught that were thrown to him. If he was going long and he only caught half of those, okay. But he's doing 5 yard outs and he's only catching half of those. That's where my problem with Brandon Lloyd was, is the percentage of catches he made. They force fed him the ball. I think they threw the ball to him too much.
Yeah, to try to get him, get some rhythm with
him. Get
him
into the game. And he had a great game in Houston at home. That was his best game as a Patriot. But for the most part, he was either not on the same page or, you know, drop balls that he should have caught. And, you know,
so was that enough time then, you think? You'd seen enough.
I've seen enough, and I think the Patriots did too.
And guess what? 31 other teams also saw enough.
Right.
Where is he right now? He's with Buddy Nix.
This is
unemployed.
This is a guy who caught 70 balls. Everyone keeps pointing to that, and he doesn't have a job.
Right. And there are plenty of teams who are probably even worse off than the Patriots at wide receiver who have not given him a snap. I haven't heard his name linked to any team.
You know, now you get to the yards after catch thing. One of the reasons he didn't have any yards after the catch because every ball he caught was in an event. I mean, sprawling and the legs akimbo.
Right,
you know, it doesn't have to be that way if you run the route the correct way. I don't think Brady was accurate with everybody else and inaccurate with Brandon Lloyd. You know, maybe once in a while it was Brady's fault, but I got to think that most of the time, if there was a problem, it was Brandon.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like he was there just to keep his 2 feet in.
But those are great catches, but did they have Spider-Man. To be that crazy?
And I also think that there's something else from Monday to Saturday that just wasn't right with Brandon Lloyd. And that's part of why we're not. I don't know what that is. He was an odd guy, but odd guy in and of itself doesn't mean you don't fit an NFL team.
Right.
I think there's something else from Monday to Saturday.
Right. Speaking of odd guys, Brian Lowe, thank you for joining. Jackie Britton,
thank you.
It's 2 o'clock. It's time to go.
Been fine.
We'll be back on Tuesday. Eric will
Thursday?
Be back here.
Thursday,
I mean. We'll be back on Thursday. Eric will be here, and we'll have more Patriots talk. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.